98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Pass it in from the corner.
Wolf and Luke.
Brings the boom. And catching bodies on his way to the rack.
Suns, game day with K-Ray.
I'm ready for whatever. I'm ready for whatever.
You got something to say over there, Wolf?
No, I got none. Okay. You're getting it later, though. After we're done talking to K-Ray, you're getting blasted.
It wasn't that egregious what I said during the break. All right, I'll bring it back up.
That's so embarrassing.
It's not. I will 100% own what I said. All right, right now, though, we're going to talk to Kevin Ray. It is game day with K-Ray. The Suns taking on the Dallas Mavericks tonight. Kevin Ray of Bally Sports joining us right now. K-Ray, how's it going?
Going good. How are you guys?
We're doing
great, man.
Doing good. We were talking about this earlier. Matchup with the Mavericks for the last couple of years has meant, all right, here we go, DeAndre Ayton, Luka Doncic. It's got a little extra juice for Suns fans. You want to beat Dallas because they got Luka. But, you know, DA is hurt. Earlier this season, Luka was hurt for both the games, and also the Suns went to the NBA Finals last year. I kind of feel like that particular part of this rivalry has lost a little bit of juice the last year. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I mean it's become much less of a much less of a focal point, and rightfully so. Look, I think that they have both proven to be the type of fits that they and their teams envision them being. And look, there's always going to be a handful of fans on either side who would say, oh, I'd rather have this guy or I'd rather have that guy. But when you look at what has been achieved thus far, I think Suns fans feel like, and I think this is what most of us were saying in the beginning is like, when you're talking about a big man versus a guard, you have to project the long game. And look, I mean, if 3 years is the long game, then the Suns are already winners.
Yeah. Kevin, talk a little bit about the Mavericks right now. 9-1 in their last 10 games. What are they doing well? Letting Luka be Luka?
Well, it's a combination of Luka being Luka, but he's also been, I think, better at getting other people involved. Maybe not quite as much, ball dominance, ball pounding. Now, having said that, I think that you talk to a lot of people and. When you look at the way the Suns offense runs, the point five where it is typically not in the hands of one player more than a second and a half tops. But look, it's also one of the strengths of Luka because of his size and his ability to dominate with the ball and, create situations where he's backing people down. So it's kind of that, calling the guard, the guard forward, if you will. But most of the improvement really, Wolf, has come on the defensive end. They've done a terrific job of late of really locking teams down defensively. And you look at their 12 wins in December, they've held their opponents under 35% from beyond the arc. Mm. And I think it's eight of the 11 because they've won 10 of 11, and I think it's 8 of the 10 wins they've held their opponents under 100 points. So it's really kind of started on the defensive end.
Talking to Kevin Ray, of course, it is game day with K-Ray as the Suns get set to take on the Mavericks tonight. K-Ray, Devin Booker, it's sometimes you're so used to what he does that it's almost tough to find a new angle to even talk about Devin Booker. But I think we found one these last three games when he's been averaging 38 points a game. He just put 48 on San Antonio the other night when I think most people were watching the Cardinals playoff game. But what have you seen, if anything, different from Booker over the last week or so?
Yeah, I don't know that it's really a whole lot different, Luke, other than, because he's in that groove, he has been, I think, more willing, I guess is the best word, to really go out and, take the ball, shoot the ball, score the ball more than he maybe had in the, two or three weeks prior where he knows he's in a groove. And just as a result of guys coming in and out of, health and safety protocols, DA being out, the last game and a half, basically. And he's just taking it upon himself, knowing that he's riding a hot hand to say, come on, boys, come with me. And, the results have borne that out.
Okay, you don't think that Devin Booker might actually be reacting to some of the early All-Star voting returns, so to speak? You don't think that is a concerted effort amongst his teammates and Monty Williams and himself?
Oh, look, I'm not going to sit here and deny that it may not be a part of the equation. And look, I think some of it stems from the whole firestorm that, you know, was created after Raptorgate and then the whole, you know, mama mentality thing. And I think in some respects, and you know, we joked with Devin the other night, I said, you know, you're kind of enjoying playing part assassin, part villain here over the last three or four games. And I do think that there is a part of that with Book, but you just look the way he handles himself. And you know, it's like that pulse rate, that heartbeat doesn't fluctuate a whole lot. And that's what you love about him. He's got that stone cold killer look. Yep. And you just don't see a whole lot of facial expression. Every once in a while, we'll get the flex and the sneer. But for the most part, man, he's just going about his business and, you know, just taking people out.
Okay, Ray, that stat that's been floating around this week, the Suns have played 43 games, and only 23 of them have they had DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker and Chris Paul all out there. So only 23 out of 43, and yet they're still 34-9. What does that mean to you? And I guess I'd throw in the additional stat, Chris Paul has played in all 43 of the 43 games.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll start with the collective team record, and yeah, it's one of the things that we pointed out a couple of times in the last few telecasts, and that I think, you know, gets easily overlooked on the national side of things, not surprisingly. But what it speaks to, guys, is just as we've said throughout, just the not just the depth, but the quality of depth. And for them, A, to have gotten a JaVale McGee, and then now in the last 2.5, almost 3 weeks now, you know, go out and pluck a Bismack Biyombo off of the open market and plug him in. I mean, he had a monster night, you know, the other night, going with a double-double. It just speaks to the quality of depth that they've got. And, you know, having been able to survive, you know, not just those guys, but a Cam Johnson being sidelined for three games, JaVale being out, you know, you just keep going down the list. And it also just speaks to the foundation, the principles that you hear these guys talk about all the time and the standard with which they've set. And as far as Chris goes, I mean, at this point, it does not surprise me. The guy loves to play ball, and he loves to compete. He loves to play with this team for this coach, and he takes great care of his body. And look, there's a guy over in L.A. that, you know, whether you love him or hate him, aside from the ankle injuries and stuff, you know, he's playing at a high level as well. And that's what happens when you've got guys who know what they have to sacrifice in order to play the game that they love and, you know, help their team win.
I know we probably do not know when DA is going to be back specifically, Kay, but have you gotten any indication as to how bad he tweaked that thing, how bad he rolled it?
Every indication that I've been given, Wolf, is that it is not a serious ankle roll. It's a little bit like Cam's, where you know, Cam probably could have come back and played a game earlier.
Okay.
And I think because of the depth that they've got at the five position, between JaVale, Bismack, and look, you can swing, you know, you can swing sticks from the four to the five if necessary. Let's say if JaVale gets into foul trouble. So I think, again, it's the luxury of the quality of depth they have at that position and knowing there's no reason to rush him back, particularly on, you know, on a gimpy ankle where, you know, if you do and he comes down on it awkwardly or comes down on somebody's foot, then you might be looking at a, you know, 2 to 3 week type prognosis. Yep.
Kevin Ray, always enjoy talking to you, man. Thanks for the
best,
time.
Kay.
Likewise, boys. Take care.